Podtacular 247, Podtacular update for the week of January 22nd, 2011.
Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular episode 247. I am your host, Dustorm.
And I'm your host, Brent Gamer.
And we are without Greg this week. Well, not this week, per se. We're without him for this episode, but hopefully tomorrow we can record the Call of Duty episode and he'll be on that one. So he is taking a temporary hiatus, so to speak.
Yep.
So we'll see when he gets back. But yeah, we haven't had one in a week or so. We took Monday off because of Martin Luther King Day, and then Wednesday we just decided we didn't get around to one, and this one's coming out a little bit late, but nonetheless, we do have an episode for this week, which is going to be the Podtacular update, where we read a bunch of random frags and talk about community news and stuff like that. So we have a few stuff, random frags, that we have from submissions, a lot of them dating back from, like, October, since we've had them way back then.
But all the way back from the Halo 2 days. I wonder if Foo has some of the old submissions, like, archived somewhere.
Well, we do have
that were, like, never used. I know that we've got show notes, but I mean ones that were never used.
That would be interesting if he actually had those. I wonder what they would be like.
Probably really, really bad ones. Ones that we take out of the show right now. You know, yeah. People send in submissions that don't make the cut.
Yeah, they don't even make the show notes cut.
We should, like, archive them and just put them in, like, a forum post one day and just be like, this is why your submission didn't go on the air. Like, we did not want to edit this.
Ways not to submit to the show.
We appreciate submissions.
We do.
But, I mean, as long as you keep them, you know, reasonably short. I mean, you could talk a little bit and make sure that what you're talking about is on topic and, you know, keep it coherent. But don't send in these massive, like, novels. Especially if I need to go in and edit them, because that makes it even worse. Because if I have to edit your novel, you have even less of a chance of getting on the show, because I'll just get rid of it. Like, when I'm going through the show notes, I'll just chop it. Don't care.
Two. One because of the length, and then another one because it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, if it doesn't make sense, then we'll
chop
it.
You have no chance.
And if you just send in, like, a one-sentence submission saying, hey, love the show. I mean, thanks. We appreciate that. But put that in the iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
Don't send them in as a random frag.
Do iTunes reviews, do something in the forums. But we're looking for, like, quality stuff for the show, at least.
Random frags can't really be random. They have to be kind of, like, halfway Halo-related, or something related to the community.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, random frags is just stuff that really doesn't fit any of our other podcast categories. But it still has to be Podtacular-related.
Yeah. Well, I think it can even fit the other podcast categories. It's just kind of a mixed bag of random Halo news or fun stories or whatever you want to send in that is community related, that is, like, related to Halo and Podtacular as a group. Send that stuff in.
Yes, exactly.
So we need to head into the submissions that did make the cut.
We should.
Most
of them made the cut. We do have a
quality,
good number.
Quality submissions from our fine community folk.
So this first one comes from Arrowhead896. He says, hi Podtech, this is Arrowhead896, and I hope I can finally clear up some of the confusion between the game and the book. Note, this is taken from Halopedia, and it's based on the dates given in both the book and the game. The level is in brackets, blah, 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 blah. July 24th, 2552, Winter Contingency happens. He basically gives a whole bunch of dates.
Yep, that's the one I was telling you about earlier, I wasn't sure if you wanted me to chop. But it's a list of things that happen in Halo Reach, or the Halo universe. I guess it's kind of supposed to be like a mix between what happened in the book
and
what happened in the game.
I don't remember exactly. I mean, this looks more like it's heavy weighted towards Reach.
Yeah.
And there's not much comparison in the book.
Yeah.
So
maybe he's trying to say that you should just consider the book as non-canon and the game is canon. Whatever the game says is true.
Okay. Well, the stuff on the final day.
I'm not sure that's what he's saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
Stuff on the final day, I think, in his submission is the important stuff.
Yeah.
In his post. So I guess we'll go through that part at least. And you can read the rest in the show notes. August 30th, 2052 at 0447 hours. Remote scanning of outpost detects Covenant. 0637 hours. Master Chief returns from the mission to destroy data on station. At 0647 hours, Dr. Halsey calls the Pillar of Autumn back down to Reach. So I know that was a big controversy.
Yeah.
1652, Noble Team proceeds to the shipbreaking yards. Pillar of Autumn leaves. And at 2000 hours, Noble Six dies. So.
Sucks for Noble Six.
Although we still don't technically see him die. But with the final cutscene, it kind of makes it clear that I guess he did.
Yeah.
He did die. I guess the only one that we really don't know about is
June. And Jorge, to a certain extent.
I'm still of the belief that if you're caught in a slip space bubble.
But he's a Spartan, bro.
While it's creating, I would think
he's a Spartan,
it
would
destroy everything. Well, Spartan nonetheless, when you get disintegrated, you get disintegrated nonetheless. It doesn't matter.
Spartans never die. They're just missing in action.
That's a whole political plot, though.
Yeah.
We can't trust the government.
Has deep symbolic meaning.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you were a government that was getting utterly decimated by an alien force and you were almost positive that humanity was going to die off, would you not lie to give people just a teeny glimpse of hope?
Yeah.
You know, because you have to realize that throughout most of, like, the Halo novels and the Halo universe in general, like, humanity generally believes that it's going to get its ass kicked.
Yeah.
Even Halsey knows that humanity's going to get killed off. That's why she's morally opposed to the Spartan program, but she understands that the Spartans are the only hope that humanity has left.
How can she be morally opposed to it if she created it?
Because she understood that
I still don't get
they that. Had to, I mean, she was opposed to it from a purely like ethical standpoint, from, you know, stealing kids to turn them into super soldiers. She was, you know, she didn't like that part, but she understood that she had to do it. She had to do it to protect humanity.
Okay.
They go over that in The Fall of Reach.
A lot. It's been like 7 years since I've read the book though, so
yeah,
I'm kind of out of it.
I'm just telling you, man. I don't.
Although I did buy recently the Cole Protocol and the two Halo Evolutions books. So I'll probably be reading those in the next couple of months.
Yeah. I think the only book that I've read to completion is The Fall of Reach. Then after that, I'm like, yep. Like, I don't want any more extended universe stuff. Enough for me. I did enjoy the Halo graphic novel. That was pretty fun.
What I've read of Ghosts of Onyx, that book is actually a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, I've got that book. I read about, I guess, half of it, and then got bored one day and never went back to it.
Poor Brent.
All right.
Well, I guess that depends on how you see it. Could be poor Brent or could be happy Brent.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't a bad book. I just got bored of it.
Fair enough.
It just felt like, it kind of like Reach redo, you know, The Fall of Reach again, except this time it's, you know,
different.
I mean, the first part of the book kind of felt like that to me because it showed the kids going through training and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I've been through this part. I know.
Well, that was
Spartan
that wasn't
super soldiers.
That wasn't technically part of the book. That was just a prologue.
Well, I mean, the whole part of I can't remember. What was it Kurt?
Yeah,
was his name? Didn't he have to train up the Spartan threes? Because I remember that being part of the book, and I was like, yeah, I already know the Spartan 2 training. Like, I don't care about this stuff.
Turn off the lights, see all the Marines in disarray.
Yes. Then, like, the whole Mendez plot line, and I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to realize that I tried to love the Halo extended universe, and I just couldn't get into it.
don't know. I think the books seem appropriate, but that's my stance on it.
Yeah. I feel bad because I host a Halo podcast, and yet I have zero interest in the Halo extended universe. Like,
I mean, some people
I know
don't.
That I can. I've never seen Halo Legends, and I know that I can watch it in HD on Netflix anytime I want, but I feel zero desire to do so. Like, if I want Halo, I'll just go and play some multiplayer.
Right.
And have a good time with the friends, but I don't know. I know a lot of people do love the Halo extended universe, and more power to those people, especially Ascended Justice.
Oh, geez.
Now they get to create the extended universe.
That's crazy. Now they're working with 343.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's weird how they just snatched up like all the big time community members.
And left us behind.
Yeah.
No Halo podcast for us. No 343i podcast for Dustin and I.
Aw.
David Ellis could have brought us on to do the podcast.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. But didn't.
Get paid like $5,000 a year to put it out once a week.
I could do that.
That'd be about $100 an episode.
I wish we just got that a year for donations. That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
I mean, with all the time that we put into this.
Yeah.
Then I have the additional time of actually working on the site.
Yeah, I do nothing, so I can't talk. I'm completely lazy. I take a passive stance.
You're just our regional podcasting guru.
Yes.
So why don't we move Dustin, on to the
next we'll move one. On. Shoddybag 22 says, "Hey Podtacular, I was on the forums and I posted a question to everyone asking if they would enjoy Firefight DLC, and after just a couple of hours I read that most were either not interested or would consider getting it." Okay. I don't understand that because those are the two possible outcomes that you could have.
Yeah, that doesn't
You're either
sense.
Not interested or you would get it. Whatever. What are your thoughts on Firefight DLC? If Firefight DLC was released, would you want it?
I guess what he's basically saying, they would get it primarily. Like, there were no definitive yes.
Like, nobody's on the fence?
Yeah, like, no one's...
Like, everybody either wants it or they don't?
No, like, either people don't want it or they're on the fence. Like,
oh, okay.
No one's on.
So nobody actually wants it. Nobody right. wants Firefight DLC.
I mean, I actually think it would be okay if they had it in a map pack.
I don't think it would be profitable. I don't think they would ever make it because...
I mean, the only thing is with the Firefight stuff, I would think the map would be a humongous download. And there's really no way you can customize where things drop. So I really, and all the campaign stuff's pretty much already taken too, and they've done with the campaign what they wanted to do, and that's why the new maps they released were not, or let's see, Tempest wasn't related, and what's the other one, the big invasion one?
Oh
break,
man,
Breachhead, Breakpoint, Breakpoint.
Yeah, we are the best Halo podcast ever.
But Breakpoint. I mean, Breakpoint, there was some resemblance of campaign, but it really didn't. Like, when you play through the campaign mission, it didn't really fit in any particular map. And
yeah.
The only one that did was Anchor 9.
Well, you could do the same with the Firefight DLC. You could have a Firefight map that
I mean, like,
is completely separate from the environments in the Reach campaign.
I mean, I guess you could.
I don't see why it would be, you know, any larger of a download than, you know, like a multiplayer map.
Well, I think it would be just a little bit... Well, I guess you're right.
The assets don't seem... You know, that divergent between a Firefight map and a just regular matchmaking map, you know, multiplayer.
I guess
because really,
I guess it's just the extra, like, the logic of movement for the
yeah.
AI
just well, I mean, you know, like enemy placement information.
Yeah,
but I have to imagine that. I mean, that's not a, that's
still
not
that,
a
I
huge
still think
chunk
that's
of data.
I would think it would still be pretty sizable, like. Maybe like 20, 30 megs or so, but...
It seems to me like enemy movement is the smaller stuff, and that most of the... Just the data size comes from the assets, just the actual
well, yeah.
environment. I mean, you could... And they already have all of the assets for the enemies, so you just put in the enemy movement data, like drop-offs stuff. I mean, I see what you're saying about the download being larger, probably, but I don't think it would be just too large to where...
Yeah.
They felt that they couldn't put it out because it was too big. It's not going to be like a 5 gig download for
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't think they would do it because I don't think it's profitable. I don't think that enough people want Firefight DLC. I mean, you look at the Firefight playlists, and there really aren't that many people playing Firefight matchmaking.
Well, the only I guess people that they might are be playing it for accommodations and challenges.
Yeah. When like I play me. Firefight matchmaking, I just play Gruntpocalypse.
Yep.
On Score Tag. That's although, just because I love popping for grunts the... in the head.
Well, it's so much fun with the pistol and the DMR.
Yeah. The DMR makes it great.
Yay!
I didn't even like Firefight that much in ODST. I thought it was kind of a stupid game mode. But in Reach, I love Firefight just because of Gruntpocalypse. I
still need one.
And the DMR.
I still need one more achievement in ODST. Speaking of which, I still need the score for Alpha Sight.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get that someday. Moving on, Beautiful Curse writes in, well, here I am. The majority has come to submit her opinions. Alas, I have finally attained Reach and love, love, love it. The campaign was an A+, and the new maps, yummy. Okay. I played with my father and one of his friends and owned them with melees, and I had splendid flashbacks of Halo 2. If only I didn't need school. Well, thanks for your time, and you're welcome for mine. Wow, that's an interesting grammar
very
twist. Wow.
Not a lot of hubris, you know?
Mm-mm.
What did you take away from that, Dustin?
She liked the campaign, and she is better than her family.
Yeah. Here's a fun tip.
That's what I got.
When submitting to the podcast, try to add a question to your submission so we have something to talk about after we read it.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. Trying to figure out how one would own somebody with melees unless the person they were playing against was just really bad or well, really new.
If I were playing with my dad, all I'd have to do is just strafe and then go up to
him. I tried playing with my stepdad once, and his ability to move his Spartan was non-existent. He kept looking.
Yeah, it's same for my dad too. Except he's gotten a little bit better.
But I mean, it's to the point where I wouldn't play with him because it isn't even fun. You know, why would I want to just beat up someone who doesn't know how to move?
Well, I mean, at least for how I do it with my family, we just go into social matches and play on there, and he's on our team, and half the time we win, half the time we don't. And
if you have if your family has an active interest in learning how to play games, that's cool. But my stepdad just, you know, he wanted to try it, see if he could play. It didn't work out. I tried.
Give him a Kinect.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll like that Dance Central Kinect Sports.
Most people can play the Wii. You'd be amazed.
Did you see on, I don't know if it was Slashdot or Kotaku, but someone actually did a mod for a first-person shooter with Kinect.
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I knew that was coming anyway. Somebody had to make that, right?
It's.
I mean, if it wasn't an actual developer, even if it was just a mod, somebody had to make it.
Oh, no, I think for first-person shooters, you need so much quick reaction time that motion capture is not going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way I think it would work is if you actually have like a gun prop with a trigger on it.
Right. They kind of have that for the PlayStation Move now. They have a plastic assault rifle that you put the little Move controller into. I remember they came out with something similar when the Wii was new.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I personally think the Move would be a better platform for a first-person shooter.
Yeah, because you actually have something to point and shoot with. You have a button, you know, in the form of the trigger on the Move controller, and you have the pointing device, which is the controller itself.
Right.
So at that point, it's basically just a PC first-person shooter kind of, you know, on your television.
Right.
Which is kind of how it is with the Wii, if first-person shooters on the Wii didn't kind of uniformly suck.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
I mean, you can go into it. I don't think anybody's going to get mad if you say that first-person shooters suck. I mean, shooters on Wii...
It's not necessarily just first-person shooters. It's almost anything that's not necessarily proprietary to Nintendo.
That's always been the way it is with Nintendo, though. I mean, you look back at the GameCube and even the N64, it's always been the reason you buy a Nintendo console is to play Nintendo-developed games. Third parties have never... I mean, they did back when Nintendo was one of the two companies that existed in gaming to a large extent, back when it was just Sega and Nintendo battling it out. You had third parties, but Nintendo lost a lot of its third-party support when the PlayStation 1 came out. You have to realize Nintendo had things like Final Fantasy and some other franchises that got stolen Sony. I'm trying to think of... No, they still have... I'm trying to think of other franchises, because I know that there's others, but Final Fantasy is kind of the big one that everybody looks at. It's kind of the falling out point where third parties said, hey, we don't need to be on Nintendo anymore. We don't need to be on that console because there's this new console. And at the time, Sony was like, well, we're new to the game, so we need to make sure that we get some cool third-party games on here. So they catered to the third parties when Nintendo wouldn't. Hmm. And that's kind of the fallout from that is still present today, where third parties shunned Nintendo for a long time. And they really didn't come around until the Wii, when they figured out that they could put out games that soccer moms would go crazy for and buy in mass. So you get a lot of, like, Ubisoft cashed in big time. They put out, like, Cooking Mama and Just Dance. And those are shitty games that cost like 5 cents to develop, and they're making millions off it. It's crazy. That's the reason you don't get good third-party games on the Wii, is because, first of all, Nintendo alienated third parties 15 years ago, and second, when third parties do go to the Wii, they end up making these budget titles that sell like hotcakes, so they make a ton of money, and there's no reason for them to make cool, creative games for the Wii. From a financial standpoint, it wouldn't make sense. When you can make all of that money putting out something like Just Dance, of course you're going to do it.
Right. Well, it's perfect for the platform as well.
But I mean, there are things that you could do with the Wii. There are crazy fun experiences on the Wii. Nintendo proves it all the time. You don't have to put out a game on the Wii. You can put out good games. Nobody wants to do it. So I'm saying it's not the Wii's fault. It's not the technology's fault. I mean, I understand that a lot of companies don't want to make their kind of high art games on the Wii because of the fact that the Wii's not in HD. You know, it's still in standard def, and it's not as graphically powerful as the 360 or the PS3, obviously. So you get a, like, okay, if you owned a game development studio, Dustin, would you want to put out a beautiful game, even if you weren't making it ultra realistic, you just wanted to make a game, would you rather put a game out in HD on the Xbox 360 and PS3, or would you rather put out a game of lower graphical quality out on the Wii that can't be ported over to the 360 or PS3 because, I mean, unless you just completely, I guess you'd have to either recreate the assets or somehow up-res them.
Right.
360 or PS3. Which would you rather do?
Xbox and PS3.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
No, so you're not going to get the... Yeah.
I don't know. What were we talking about again?
Wasn't
it about, like, Firefight DLC? No, it was about...
Yeah, no.
No, it was Halo 2. Yeah, we were talking about how we had nothing to talk about with
how
her.
Oh, that's right. Asking for questions. Oh, wow.
We right. And then somehow
talk about we random. And we just went on, like, a 10-minute talking spree.
Yeah. Well, that was my fault.
No, it's... I mean, it happens every time.
We
should be planning for it, but sometimes we don't.
I should plan for it. I need to kind of rein myself in next time. Like, next time you feel strongly about something, don't say anything.
No. People like your opinion, though. I mean, people have written in and said that. The one that we deleted earlier.
I felt bad, though. It's like every time I go on a rant, it ends up sounding stupid, you know? Like, I always get something inaccurate. I always have, like, some piece of information that I got wrong.
Your major point, though, is pretty spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, you're much more knowledgeable than I or Greg probably will ever be.
Well, what makes me feel bad is that games on the 3DS are starting to look better than games on the Wii. And the 3DS is a handheld.
Yeah.
What really made me sad was I was watching old gameplay videos of Jet Grind Radio, or Jet Set Radio, depending on which side of the pond you live.
Hmm.
See, it was originally Jet Set Radio, but I think that was copyrighted. It was out on the Dreamcast. It was a game where you it's in the future and you roll around on inline skates. And whoops.
Well, while he takes care of his phone, I'm going to go ahead and read the next one. Puxatawny Phil writes in, oh, hi, guys. It's Puxatawny Phil, the groundhog that be chill.
I bring you news that you've probably heard by now. 343 is making a Halo 1 remake. Actually, that is not true.
Yeah, not true.
Not true. I can imagine that Dusty is a bit hesitant to accept that it will be good, while Brent or G. Lewis will be more enthusiastic. I think you're actually wrong about that, too. Believe it or not. He links to an article that I haven't opened yet, which I
from OXM Online.
OXM Magazine.
I'm just amazed that OXM still exists. Still a thing.
Early this week, video game website CVG reported Microsoft internal studios staffed with some ex-Bungie employees.
Dead air is dead.
Yeah.
Edit this part for brevity.
No, we'll keep it in. But yeah, if you want to read the article, it's in the show notes. But
or go to oxmonline.com/article/features/weekly Xbox tidbits / weekly Xbox tidbits % E2%
with
94 December 3rd. So make sure that you you get out to that link.
I don't know. There's so much hype around it. I'm just not even gonna really. If they make an announcement about it, cool. If they don't, I'm not gonna be missing anything.
You gotta save something for E3, you know.
I mean, in a couple of weeks, I'm gonna be doing my legendary run through or starting that. So
I would be totally fine with a Halo 1 remake in Reach Engine.
That would be fine. Like if it was just that, and I guess the addition of like online matchmaking would be nice, but everything else would have to stay the same.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd have online matchmaking.
So, I mean, it's possible.
You know, it'd be messed up if they put the DMR in the Halo 1 remake.
Oh, that'd be
how much they would get.
Oh, that'd be that. I think that would cause a lot of Halo fans to just hightail it.
Halo 1. I wonder what would happen if they put the battle rifle in Halo 1.
Pistol.
They'd actually probably think that's pretty cool. Like, hell yeah, I always wanted to play Halo 1 with the battle rifle. I don't know.
Just no.
That's kind of the problem, though, isn't it? Because all you have to agree that over time, Bungie made improvements to the Halo formula.
I mean, Halo 1 is Halo 1 for a reason.
Yeah, but they first made improvements. They still changed stuff up. They made you know, marginal improvements in Halo 2. I'm not talking about the stuff they changed. I'm just talking about just general gameplay tweaks that they've made over time. You would have to throw all of those out the window if you're making a Halo 1 remake.
Yeah.
Because if you put any of those changes in, you would get all sorts of, you know, complaints from fans saying, you ruined the first one. You've ruined the spirit of Halo 1. So, I mean, what do you do? Do you keep in? Because I enjoy armor abilities. Like, at first, I hated the idea of, you know, being able to choose something to go into battle with. But now that I'm playing Reach, I'm fine. But
yeah.
Going back to Halo 1, do you keep the armor abilities? Or do you just go back to the old Halo 1 days of, you know, grab your AR and, you know, run around?
I mean, if you're going to go back to the Halo 1 days and have those armor abilities, release them as map packs.
No, you couldn't do that. You couldn't.
Why not?
I don't think you can't release a gameplay feature as DLC. That's absurd. Mm. Nobody has ever done that ever, and I don't think you could. You would essentially cause your audience to split into two groups: groups of people that just have the Halo 1 remake with all of the Halo 1 rules intact, and then you'd have people that own the Halo 1 remake but have the armor ability DLC, which is an entirely new gameplay feature. So how would you get those? Because obviously the people with armor abilities couldn't play with the people that didn't have armor abilities.
Wait, are we talking about doing a DLC for Halo 1 or Halo Reach?
Halo 1 remake DLC. What were you saying? Because I thought...
I had a phone call, so...
Oh, okay.
I caught part of it, and then I missed parts of it.
I thought that was really saying much of a... that they could introduce armor abilities as DLC in the Halo 1 remake after it came out.
No, you wouldn't do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I thought you meant.
No, I was thinking if they wanted to do a remake in the Reach engine and basically have it be a quote-unquote Halo 1 remake with the armor abilities in there, why not just make it a DLC pack?
Oh, you mean like the entire remake?
Yeah.
Just, okay.
I
know exactly why you wouldn't do that.
From a multiplayer standpoint, if you were to remake the multiplayer from Halo 1, then it would make sense to just have it be a download pack for Reach. If you're going to completely redo it, like the campaign and the multiplayer, then armor ability should be taken out.
Yeah.
And left out.
Yeah.
And take out the armor customization. you won't need it for Halo 1. Just do a graphics update and multiplayer. And I mean update the physics engine so it's modern, but don't change really any of the physics settings from Halo 1, and it would be a perfect game. In my opinion.
All right.
So there you have it.
Thanks, Puxatani.
Puxatani Phil. We completely diverted from your original post, but I think it was somewhat of importance. And we'll probably have a show next week or so talking about, or maybe 2 weeks, about the rumors of the Halo 1 remake and the rumors of Halo 4. So that'll be a future episode.
They're remaking Gears of War 1. In the Halo Reach engine.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Let's see. You next?
I
read the last one, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So Jake writes in, says, "Hello, Podtacular. I've been listening for a while mowing the lawn in the summer or splitting wood in the winter, but this is my first submission. In an earlier podcast, Dustin said his height was 6'5". Are you good at basketball? By the way, keep on fragging Leroy Jenkins for getting his team killed."
See, this is a good submission.
Yeah, because it discusses Dustin's height. It asks him if he's good at basketball. It asks a question.
And he gives a brief history of his involvement with Podtacular. So,
yeah,
credit to Jake on this one. Yes, I am pretty good at basketball. I played basketball all 4 years in high school. And I really haven't played much since then. I get together with some friends every now and then. Actually, after we're done recording, I'm going to go play with some friends. But yeah, I play post.
I like to imagine that, like, you have some sort of white man can't jump hustle going on. Like, you just go out to public parks and, like, hustle people for cash. Like Woody Harrelson.
No, we don't do that, but we there is a basketball court near the hospital that we go to, but apparently it's reserved today, so we're actually going to a gym.
I need to watch White Man Can Jump. I wonder if that's on Netflix. I bet it is.
I've only heard of the movie. I haven't seen
it. You need to watch it. I don't know if it'll hold up by today's standards. But if you go to it as a comedy, okay, I think you'll enjoy it.
I'll write it down. You
got to be ready for Rosie Perez, all right? Because Rosie Perez, she's an actress with an annoying voice.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Pineapple Express with Seth Rogen?
No.
Was in Pineapple Express.
No, I did not.
She was the cop. I think a lot of our younger listeners will know that. We'll know the cop from Pineapple Express, the female one, the black female. Or she's not black. She's half black, half Mexican. And she was real popular in the 80s, and she makes out with the dude from Office Space in Pineapple Express. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah.
I'll be in for a surprise.
So good on Rosie Perez. She's real good at Jeopardy in White Men Can't Jump. That's one of the plot lines.
Okay.
She goes on Jeopardy to make money for Woody Harrelson after he loses it all.
Okay. I've got, like, a lot of movies I need to see. Like, I haven't seen Top Gun, so that's my queue right now.
You need to watch Top Gun first. Yeah. White Man Can't Jump should be pretty low on your queue.
Oh, I have like 180 DVDs queued up, and then like 90 in my instant queue. So
wait a minute.
Now I'm just gonna see if it's on instant streaming.
Man, no, I'm trying to remember. I think Rosie Perez has an African American heritage, but I don't remember. But I think she does. But she has the most annoying voice in the world. That's all you need to know about Rosie Perez.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Next is Soccer Sack. He writes in, "The game I'm looking forward to the most," and this is 2011, by the way, "is Dragon Age 2. The first game was awesome. It had one of the best storylines ever. I spent over 200 hours in this game, and it is one of the rare games that I'm not sad I spent over $100 on. The second game would have to be Portal 2. It will probably be one of the best games this year. I can't wait. Keep on fragging trucks. Sucker Sec out.
Oh, yeah. I like Portal.
Portal.
I love Portal.
Portal, I'm looking forward to. Yeah. Although I still find it sad that they took out Wheatley.
Yeah. They took out Wheatley?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Everybody loved Wheatley. That's like if I put out a trailer for a game, and then like the one thing that everybody loved, I decided to pull. I'm like, yeah, that thing that everybody loved.
I know.
Gone. It's gone, man. It just doesn't fit.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That would be like.
It's like why Gears do you do that? War,
like taking out chainsaws for Gears 3. It's like why? Everybody loves that part.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if they did, though. They made an announcement, like, a few months after they released that video.
Now, I had heard that they had changed the voice of Wheatley, but I hadn't heard that.
I thought they actually removed him.
I don't know.
There may be some recent developments where I'm not in the now, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
But it did come out with a release date. I don't remember when it is. I have to look it up.
September 23rd, 2015.
That's not this year.
No, that's the Halo, or not Halo, the Half-Life 3 release date.
This year? Or 2015?
Yeah, 2015. The end of 2015. Oh, man. Even if it does come out in 2015, I don't care. I just want to see proof that Half-Life 3 is being worked on. I want to know that it exists. They are paying people to make it.
They've said they're not making it, though. I don't know why people don't believe them.
Because they are. Because they're lying. They're lying to keep their competitors, you know, resting on their laurels. They know that. Because everybody knows that when Half-Life 3 comes out, it's just going to completely decimate everything. It's going to every other game within that release window is going to get destroyed. Because no one's going to give a crap. Because everybody knows that Half-Life 2 was amazing. Half-Life 1 was amazing. And they're ready for number 3 because they know it's going to be awesome.
Oh, you're talking about Half-Life 3, not Episode 3.
Not Episode 3. I'm talking about Half-Life.
Okay, sorry.
From what I had heard, they completely scrapped Half-Life 3 Half-Life 2.
Yeah, they're working on Half-Life 3. For some reason in my head I was thinking Episode 3. So, but yes, I agree with you.
I'm in Half-Life 3.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Portal 2 release date is February 9th, which is actually not that far away.
Wow, that's like.
That's like 2 weeks away.
I can't believe it, man. That's like a little treat. It's like, hey, man, Portal 2 is coming out. You excited? I am now.
My next paycheck is going to Portal 2 for the PC with co-op. Yay. Team Fortress 2, I go back to every now and then. Have you ever played TF2?
Yeah, I played it on PC and Xbox 360, and the Xbox 360 version sucks.
Oh.
It is awful, man. It is the most laggy, unsatisfactory experience I've ever had out of a Valve published and developed.
Well, Valve writes for the...
Yeah, but Valve put it out, all right? I understand that...
Well, the one of the reasons they said why they couldn't update it is because of how Microsoft does their DLC licensing.
Yeah, but that
and
shit...
that they couldn't...
From day one. Because I...
Yeah.
The way I actually played Half-Life 2 originally... was on the Xbox 360 when it came out on the orange box.
Oh.
And that's when I tried TF2 on the 360, and this was like within launch week, and it was still laggy, and you couldn't get into a game.
I mean, the only reason I think you would get that is for achievements on the Xbox.
Yeah.
That'd be the
But I'm saying I still would have enjoyed, you know, being able to play TF2, even if it didn't have updates. Even if it didn't have all the cool stuff that
TF2 Classic.
I still would have enjoyed playing TF2 on the 360, you know, if only as something to do, you know, just you know what, you know, I don't want to go on my PC, but I want to, you know, chill and on, you know, sitting on my couch or whatever.
Right. Fair enough.
I don't know.
But I mean, in my opinion, TF2 is a PC game.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you're going to put it out on 360, you should at least try to make it decent, you know, at least a little bit playable. Just a little bit.
Yeah, this is true. So we have one more. Do you want to read the last one?
Yeah. Tim X222 says, "Hey there, guys. It's Tim times 222 with a large submission for you to read. Perfect grammar and spelling included. I have multiple points and we'll put them in a list. Number one, my friend and I are having yet another debate over Halo versus Call of Duty. If Call of Duty brought COD into the Halo world, he says COD would win because A, if one knocked over a 1,000-pound Halo guy, the Halo guy couldn't get up, and B, Halo weapons are no different than modern ones, and C, Call of Duty guys can run faster, little help."
Oh, this is his
I guess he's talking about, I guess he's talking about Spartans. So, first of all, you couldn't knock a Spartan over. They make it sound like you just, you know, walk over to him and push him. All right, if he's, first of all, you wouldn't get close to a Spartan if he thought he was going to get pushed over.
Yeah.
You know, Halo weapons are no different than modern ones. Tell that to the Spartan laser. You know, tell that to the, to the plasma weapons. Any of the plasma weapons.
Yeah. Hmm.
Tell it to the Scorpion, dude. That thing can, like, do crazy that no real tank could ever do. Like, go over cliffs and you just, like, flip it over. It's great. COD guys can run faster. It doesn't matter. They'll just die tired. You know? You can't get away from a Spartan.
You can't.
Do they understand
that? You can't compare these two.
Spartans are superhuman, all right? They are faster than normal humans. They are stronger than normal humans. They have shields on their, you know, platinum armor or whatever. So even if you could get past the energy shield, I doubt that any Call of Duty weapon would be able to penetrate the Mjolnir armor. Just on its own, regardless of the energy shield.
Well, RPG would be just about the same as a rocket launcher.
Yeah, but even I've got, you know, I can't imagine that an RPG in Call of Duty is as powerful as the Spanker. I am almost certain that the Spanker is a more powerful ordnance.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is. I mean, again, it's just one of those games you really can't compare the two because it's two completely different mechanics of game.
It's like saying, who would win in a fight, Superman or Indiana Jones? It's like what? That's a stupid...
Yeah.
There's no fight. Yeah. It's like meta-human versus normal human. The meta-human's going to win every single time. Your friend is an idiot. You need new friends.
And we'll talk about that more in our Call of Duty episodes.
All right. He goes on to say, the highest reach rank is Inheritor. The highest rank reached legitimately is Eclipse. It is 45th out of 50. Have you seen any of the high level rankings, Dustin?
Like, I haven't seen someone with them, but I've seen like what they are.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that stuff yet.
What point does that have to?
I guess fun facts.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's the only thing I got out of that was a fun fact.
Third, he says, last my contribution to top games of 2010. He says first his choice is Halo Reach. Second is Black Ops. Only on the list because Zombies is epic. So I guess he only has two top games of 2010. And they're both first-person shooters. It's good to see that people are playing a lot of different stuff out there.
Yeah. Well, that's all the submissions that we have.
White Brent can't jump the game. I really can't jump that high.
I can't jump that high either.
I was never that good at basketball. Or any of that, so I can't say that I'm a white man who can jump. The title is right in my case.
If the shoe fits, I guess.
Yes.
A couple of quick announcements. We still have the Pro Clan recruiting. So for anyone that is in the Rec Clan, I believe, there are some requirements that they've added now to be included into the Pro Clan. Like you have to have a certain... rank, and you have to be recommended by a couple of the Pro Clan members. So if you're interested in participating in some clan matches that we are putting up with some of the other communities out there, like Outcast Reborn, Arm the Flag, those guys, look into signing up for a couple of tryouts. And good luck. Secondly, this is something we've been thinking about for a while, and I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement now. We are going to scrap the forums and start completely over. Reason being is there's a lot of old members that really aren't here anymore. There's some stuff that's just kind of retired out of the forums, and it would be nice to get a fresh new start on things. All the user accounts should be transferred over. They'll be inactive, and you'll have to reactivate them when you log in. Yeah. But all the posts will be gone. But hopefully it'll look prettier. Was there one other thing? I don't remember. I think that was the only two announcements I had in regards to the website.
So are there going to be any new features on the forums? Or is it just going to be the same?
There will be... All the features that are there now will be translated over, like the gamer card. There'll be some other stuff added, like avatars and things like that. May write some custom stuff. Not sure yet. But one thing I'm thinking about doing for the new forums is actually having our own Podtacular signature based around the Reach API. And they'll be only be able to be used by Podtacular members via checking the forums database. So that's probably the big announcement for changes coming to the forums is a custom sig that's in the works.
We need to have a button that just like deducts $15 from your PayPal account, sends it directly to the International Buy Brennan 3DS Fund.
Well, I mean, we have a donation button on the homepage.
Yeah, but that's supposed to go to, you know, cool stuff like paying for hosting and, you know, other things that are necessary to running a community. But a 3DS is necessary to me running my life. I need to play because think about it. I'll be able to play Star Fox 64 in my hands like that. I've been dreaming about this since I was like 10.
Brent's going
anywhere I go, I can play Star Fox 64. Like if other people have Star Fox 64, I can just bring it to them in multiplayer over local ad hoc, you know, crazy.
Okay. Are they doing like Super Mario 64?
No, that was for, they already did that.
They did that for DS. That's right.
Yeah. That was a launch game for the original DS.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay.
Man, I remember I bought an original DS on launch day back when it came out. I think it was like 2004. I want to say.
I don't even remember.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. But I think it was 2004. Anyway,
so far,
like I remember it was totally unpopular back then. Everybody thought the PSP was going to just dominate the DS.
Well, it did for a while.
Yeah, for like
then the DS
3 months.
Back with what? The DS...
Well, no,
DS
everybody I... remembered, hey, you know what Nintendo makes? Pokemon. Hey, you know what Nintendo makes? Mario. Hey, you know what? Nintendo makes Zelda. I'm going to go buy that system.
Yeah,
you know, and once it started. Go ahead.
Speaking of Pokemon,
yeah,
people are still requesting Goldenrod Radio.
Yeah,
or they don't want Pokemon in the show.
They don't want it in the show mostly, but yeah. They can kiss my Pokemon is awesome, you know. And I mean, if you play Halo,
there are some that want the podcast too.
Yeah, maybe they'll get the podcast. I don't know. It's just the problem with that is I'd have to have something to talk about every week. And I'm sure I could have something to talk about every week. I'm just not sure if everybody would want to listen to me talk about that stuff every week.
I don't think I really have the time to like go in and research all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We'd have to bring on some people that kind of more into the...
I mean, the only purpose we would serve, or at least I would serve as kind of like the moderator slash host, and then Brent would have his 2 cents, and then we'd have some like Pokemon experts.
We could have like Pokemon real time. You could be Bill Mayer.
I guess
Bill Maher and Brent. No, dude, I can just get Bill Maher to come on the show. He obviously knows everything there is to know about Pokemon. And Bill Maher is
more power to you. Oh, jeez.
He loves playing Pokemon.
We're such nerds.
Not really. Pokemon was a big part of a lot of kids' lives.
Oh, I know. But the fact that it's still a major title today among a certain population.
Well, I think that's just testament to how great that franchise was. Because even if you say, hey, man, it's Kitty, it was Kitty, but it was really smart, too. It obviously had kind of the kiddie themes as far as just visually.
Right.
But if you get deep into it, there's some really kind of adult themes within the Pokemon universe. And the battle system is super deep. You know, the idea of even when it was new, having 151 different creatures that you could raise and they would change into new creatures and you could make them learn different moves that they could use to battle other creatures. I mean, that was a
big deal.
It must have taken a lot of work to develop that originally. Like back before Pokemon was even a thing, can you imagine having to come up with 151 creatures that would fight each other and having to come up with the initial moveset?
See, those are the
and having
the
to come
best,
up with
though.
The. I mean, not a lot has changed since the first game. The key components of Pokemon have stayed the same. since Green and Blue or Green and Red.
Blue and Red.
Green and Red in Japan. Well, Blue was Blue came out in Japan as kind of, you know how Crystal was to Gold and Silver?
Yeah.
Green or Blue was to Green and Red in Japan, which is kind of weird.
we never got a green version over here, though.
We did. It just came out later on the Game Boy Advance.
We did?
Yeah.
Really?
Fire Red and Leaf Green. They didn't come out.
That's
what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when they made the remakes of the first two, they didn't remake Blue in America. It was Leaf Green.
Okay.
It wasn't Water Blue or whatever they would have called it. It was Fire Red.
That's probably what they would have called it.
But when it came out in America, they said, nobody's going to understand why this one's green and this one's red. Just give them the blue. Which actually doesn't make any sense because Pokemon Blue had improvements over Pokemon Red and Green in Japan. Like there were certain color palettes that were added.
Pokemon Red and Blue were the same in the U.S.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's weird. Like the entire early history of Pokemon is super weird.
It's a game. I had Yellow. So.
Yeah, basically what you know as Pokemon Blue in America was really Pokemon Green.
Yeah.
And what you know as Pokemon Yellow was Pokemon Yellow in Japan, but we didn't get the improvements in Pokemon Blue that they had in Japan until Pokemon Yellow came out.
Okay.
Fun facts.
Yay, fun facts.
Fun facts.
Another reason why.
I don't know. If there's a great demand for Goldenrod, I might take 25.
It might just be something we do monthly.
Yeah, we need to get like a super pretentious like member of Bulbapedia or something to come. Someone that like knows everything about Pokemon, and will like tell us when we've made errors and get super pissed. I think that would be, that would be awesome. And then every time he gets pissed, we make fun of how much he knows about Pokemon. Or she.
Or
I know that there's a lot of girls that like Pokemon too. I know that Rosie Perez with her Pokemon.
Oh.
I love Rosie Perez secretly. She's been in other things, but I don't remember what.
Okay. Well, we are just about at an hour. So we're going to go ahead and wrap things up.
Yeah.
Send in your tips, tricks, and tales to submissions@podtacular.com for a chance to be featured on the show. We read these regularly throughout our show rotation.
Check out podtacular.com for the latest community news and events. While you're there, check out the forums where you can meet up with other fans and listeners of the show.
We would like to thank everyone who helps out Podtacular by donating through PayPal, leading clans and events, following us on Facebook, Twitter, and subscribing to the show.
And thanks to everyone who subscribes to the show through the RSS, iTunes, or other podcast aggregators. Please visit podtacular.com for information on updating your feeds to the latest one. Do we have new feeds?
Yeah, well, it's still the same feed that we've had for like 3 months or so, but people are still using the old one.
Okay, so they need to quit using the old one and start using the new one?
Well, the thing is, I told Fumo's the old host for those that don't know, to change the old feed to forward it to the new one, and I think iTunes is still pulling from the old one.
Yeah.
So I just need to get a hold of him and actually get the feed from him, because I believe you actually can transfer feeds from FeedBurner.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of actually sitting down and getting it done.
We need to just link to Weekend Confirmed, Shaq News' podcast. That'd be great. Because they have a really, really good podcast that everybody loves listening to.
Okay.
So maybe if we use that podcast, people will start listening to our show. If they won't be listening to ours, they'll be listening to theirs.
We would have to break ours down a lot more.
We would get sued if we did that. If we put out Weekend Confirmed under the Podtacular logo, we might get sued. We wouldn't get sued. We'd get a cease and desist. And then if we kept doing it, we'd get sued. If we made money, which we would, because we take donations.
Made money?
Yeah. We don't make money here. We waste it.
Anyways, thanks guys for listening to this update of Podtacular. Until next time, which should be in a couple of days, and Greg will be back. Yeah.
We'll see you later for the Call of Duty shows.
Yes, I know nothing about Call of Duty, so I might not be there. I might be there just to make fun of the people that do like Call of Duty.
I mean, Call of Duty, like, it's a different game, though.
You got warthogs in that Call of Duty?
There's RC cars, if that counts.
You got falcons?
Actually, kind of. You do have.
You got long swords?
No. Well, actually, the carpet bomb, yeah. Anyways, that's for future discussion. See you guys later.